It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Friday, December 12th. I'm Patricia Naft. The governor's oil and gas task force wrapped up a two-day meeting in Rifle yesterday. The group only has two more meetings before making recommendations to the governor. Penta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
Several task force members proposed eliminating presentations from local government officials at the next meeting in Greeley and setting a time limit on a panel discussion on health impacts. That's to have more time to work on recommendations. But Republican Russ George, the former Speaker of the House and head of the Department of Natural Resources, quickly shot down those ideas.
Next time is our first real study of the health issues from the experts. And the health issues and the safety issues are so dominant in all of this conversation. I do not want to be constrained on that.
The proposal ultimately failed on a tie vote. The task force has not yet started debating specific recommendations. They're charged with harmonizing local and state regulations around energy development. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
It was announced this week that Great Outdoors Colorado will give out $7.7 million in grants. The money will be used to fund conservation and open space projects across the state. KVNF's Laura Pomisano reports.
Great Outdoors Colorado has awarded $4.5 million to local governments and land trusts to preserve more than 40,000 acres. In Ouray County, the Trust for Public Land was given money to purchase a conservation easement on the Sawtooth Mountain Ranch. In Mesa County, the Mesa Land Trust was awarded funds to place nearly 800 acres of the West Creek Ranch under permanent protection. Great Outdoors Colorado has also given eight communities money to build or repair local recreation sites. The town of Nucla received more than $197,000. Tracy Smith is the town's clerk.
We will be using the Great Outdoors Colorado grant funding to help us to improve our park so that it's more user-friendly for everyone from toddler to senior.
Smith says the planned upgrades include new playground equipment, a multi-purpose court, and a covered pavilion. Great Outdoors Colorado is a voter-approved entity that gives out state lotto proceeds to fund conservation and open space projects. For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
For the first time in several years, Paonia has a town manager. Jane Berry took the helm at the beginning of November. She talked with KVNF's Jake Ryan about her new position and the budget of the town.
So you've been here a little over a month now. What's your first impression?
My first impression was when I came to the interview and all I could think was, don't blow it, because this is a great community. This just seems like an awesome place to be. I'm very excited to be here. I'm very excited to be living here very soon and have my husband be living here with me soon as well, too, because I think we are going to truly enjoy being a big part of the community.
When you were applying for the job and you took the position, did you know what Paonia's current state was?
It actually wasn't until I had actually been offered the position, saw a copy of the proposed 2015 budget, was sitting in our living room with my husband, saw the projected deficit spending. I won't tell you the expletive that I said at the time, but I thought, boy, this is really something to be a brand new manager and have to start looking at making about $410,000 in cuts before the budget's adopted. Because again, in Colorado, like most states, you have to adopt a balanced budget. You cannot project that you're going to have deficit spending. You can't spend more than what you're going to bring in revenue.
Legally, you're not allowed to run a deficit as a town.
Correct, correct.
Do you know why Paonia was in that state?
In large part, it was due to the large magnitude of the embezzlement that occurred and was discovered a few years ago. The town had also experienced some emergency infrastructure repairs. They had a huge sewer issue. But then, quite frankly, it was just a lack of oversight that was going on in terms of someone really having the overall view of the town and what was occurring, particularly spending-wise, fiscally, to kind of manage that process, kind of be that check and balance, that internal control about what was being spent and where these monies were coming from. So again, I think it was a combination of factors. I think that what really hurt the town was, though, this embezzlement that occurred, because you can't take that kind of money out of a small community and not feel a direct impact.
Now, I've heard that the 2015 budget is around $7 million. Is that right?
It's actually about $7.7 million. But again, to keep it in perspective, if we didn't have these very large water projects that we've received several grants, a large $3 million loan for, our normal budget would be around $2.1 million. So there are approximately $5.6 million of water infrastructure improvement projects happening with the town as we speak.
What's the plan for helping to fund your position and dig Paoni out a little bit?
Well, we're going to become leaner. And again, the town, for whatever reasons, had more or less become overstaffed for the services that we are providing and for the size of community that we are. So a town of 1,500 people to have 17, 18 full-time employees, that's a pretty big payroll for a community this size and what we generate annually in revenue. The other side of it is, too, Jake, the town has been spending a lot of money on these issues associated with the embezzlement case. And so hopefully that's going to go away here in a few years as all the things relative to that are resolved. Hopefully we'll just get back again, as I say, to good government services and not have some of these extraordinary costs of the last few years.
Okay, Jane, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Jake, for having me. Anytime.
That was Jane Berry talking with KVNF's Jake Ryan about the current state and future of Paonia. You can find an extended interview with Barry at kvnf.org. And finally, there was a passionate school board meeting this week in Montrose, a room full of parents who were concerned about a memo sent from the school district to the staff about prayer in school. This is the district deputy superintendent, Kirk Henwood, who wrote the memo. He says it started when some parents in the community approached him.
They had a son who was playing football, and they had some questions regarding prayer and the way the football team was handling prayer.
So Henwood sent out a memo to the district staff stating the district's policies. He says it caused some confusion.
One of the misconceptions is that we were going to limit student prayer. That is not true. Students can still pray as they have in the past, provided that school staff doesn't lead prayer. Students have the right to pray, and our school district supports that 100%.
The school district doesn't allow teacher or staff in leading a prayer. He hopes the meeting cleared the air and made everything clear. Up next, DJ MJ and the Friday Morning Music Mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.